We've been talking about change, how to make change. How many of you know sometimes change is a choice and sometimes change is imposed upon you by the circumstances of life and situations and other people's choices? Things happen that create change. And if you don't understand that and don't realize that, you're going to be in trouble, because you and I have to learn to be flexible. Flexible. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Not really, but you have to be flexible. Because if you're not flexible, you're going to be in trouble. You know? And I'm always amused. I was listening to a pastor the other day on the radio, and he's talking about how everything had to be precisely in order. And his wife would come into his office at home and move the phone 2 inches, and he'd walk back in and, I wish you'd just leave my stuff alone. And I just got a kick out of that. And you just have to look at my desk and know I'm not that guy. I mean, I'm just not that guy, because I'm just, you know, those things don't matter to me in a lot of ways. There are some things that do matter to me, don't get me wrong, but I'm just got to be flexible in life. Amen? So we've been talking about that. And one of the things that we've been looking at here, let me get this thing working here. Healthy change, next verse, next slide there. This is the things we started with giving. Oh, I did backwards, didn't I? This guy wrote a book, The Silent Revolution. He wrote these paradoxical commands. Listen to this. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. I like these. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good today. Do it anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. Amen? People favor underdogs, but follow top dogs. Fight a few for underdogs anyway. What you spend your years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you do help them. Been there. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. Amen? Sometimes it's an anyway kind of operation. Just do what you know to do. Today we're going to talk about growing your faith. How to grow your faith. Why do we need to grow your faith? And the passage of scripture I'm going to use today, you've heard it, you've read it, you've probably prayed it. But you're going to be challenged today. You're going to be challenged today. Grow your faith. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. And the apostles said to the Lord, say it with me, increase our faith. How many of you feel like you need that? Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it would obey you. How much faith does it take? The grain of, have you ever seen a mustard seed grain? It's very small. It's very insignificant, but anyhow, faith can be powerful. In verse 7, he says, which of you, having a servant, plowing and herding sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come now and sit down for dinner? Will he not rather say to him, prepare my supper and dress yourself and serve me until I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Verse 9. Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? I think not. So you also, when you have done everything commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done our duty. Lord, in the next few moments, speak to our hearts. Challenge us. Resurrect some things. Heal some things today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the real question is this. Why were the disciples asking for more faith? Because I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I've asked for more faith. And it typically had to do with the power side of living. You know, I wanted to see people healed. How many of you think that's a good thing, good reason to? I wanted to see people transformed. I wanted to see the dynamic power of God displayed. I wanted more faith to see his power. You ever been there? Now, you're going to be surprised. The disciples say this. Look, the previous two verses. Listen. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times a day, and seven times a day in a day turns to you and says, I repent, you must forgive him. That's the proposition that Jesus put before them that made them declare, I got to have more faith to do that. How many know it's hard to forgive people? You can be honest with me today. It's hard to forgive people. You know who it's hardest to forgive? The people you live with. I mean, it's hard to forgive because what? They should know better. They should treat you better. They should love you better. They should do everything better than everybody else. And come to find out, they're just people. Just like you. I'm going to tell you, the hardest people to forgive are the people in your own family. You got a daddy, you got a mama, you got a brother, you got a sister, you got somebody that you're going to have to forgive. And yet, I don't know about you, but that makes me pray, Lord, increase my faith. Because there are some people that come against you and in your world, you're going to need a lot of faith to forgive. Because how many times a day are they going to ask you? Seven? Times 70? Some people just have a habit of offending you. I mean, you know that's true. They offend you and they offend you. I mean, you can take offense. And listen, this is what the Bible says. The root of bitterness, which comes from offense, will defile many. Because when you're offended, you can get real bitter. And when you get bitter, you start putting that in your children. You start putting that in your marriage. You start putting that in your church. You start putting that at work. And all of a sudden, a lot of people are defiled by your offense because you failed to have enough faith to forgive. And that requires this response. Help me, Lord. Amen? Yeah. Oh, forgive. And then they pray. Lord, increase our faith. You see, it's a good thing to solicit help from God. It's a good thing. Lord, increase our faith. There was a man who came to Jesus, had a sick person in his family, and he said this. Immediately the father of the child cried out with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I love that story. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm uncertain of my belief, but I'm very certain of the God I serve. I know the problem is not his ability or his power or his insufficiency. I know it's me. Help what I have, Lord. Help what I possess. Help what I unbelieve. Help me in my midst of the offenses that have come my way. You see, this man knew he needed more help. He knew Christ would help. Hallelujah. So in response to Jesus' teaching, his disciples ask, Lord, give us more faith. Increase. Now, when you're increasing something, it means this, you have a little. They're not asking for him to give faith. He's asking to increase what they already possess. Got it? Yeah. Here's the deal. You're going to be offended among religious people. You're going to be offended. And you're going to offend some of them yourself. And you're just going to help. You're going to have to pray. They have enough faith to forgive you. And you're going to need enough faith to forgive them. Faith is needed to forgive. You will be offended by those in your own household. You need faith to forgive. And the disciples make this connection. They make this connection in relationship to forgiving others. I need more faith. Isn't it interesting? They didn't ask for more love. They didn't ask for more understanding and patience. That may be needed. Why ask for faith in relationship to forgiveness? Because Jesus had spoken about it before. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, he says this, have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. I think it's interesting that in both cases, he ties more power, more faith to the forgiveness of others. Jesus says this to him after they pray this prayer, increase our faith. He says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it would obey you. Can I tell you, faith is needed for life's challenges. And most of the times, life's real challenges are not what you're going to be doing or getting through the math test or the... It's the people. It's the people you have to live with. It's the people you have to sit with in church. Yeah, look at that person next to you, right, left, doesn't matter. Now, when you look at them, you ought to look up to heaven and say, Lord, increase my faith. Are you with me? You got to have a little help. Help us, Lord. I'll remind you of this father who took Jesus, this child. He says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Listen, you're going to have a chance to practice forgiveness over and over again in your life. And here's what I know. People of genuine faith forgive. Forgive. Let me tell you a good story in the Old Testament. Joseph. Don't you love the story of Joseph? Huh? He has a dream. His dad favors him. His brothers are jealous. He has a dream about them bowing down before him. And they say, we're not going to have any of this. We're going to put him down. They really wanted to kill him in that pit. And one brother had to talk him out of it. That's how intense their anger, their offense was. They put him down in that pit, and he was sold into slavery. Now, I don't know how long you got to bear a grudge, but think about that. You're in Potiphar's house, and things get good, and then you're in prison in a cell. And then you have to say, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my brothers. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. They sold me into slavery. Can I tell you that root of bitterness could spring up real easy, couldn't it? I don't know about you, but it can. I mean, you know, we've had practice, haven't we? I mean, haven't you let that happen to you before? Someone did you wrong and you just kind of simmered on a little bit? I don't know about you, but my mama used to do pressure cookers, you know, pressure cookers. And they'd go. And I'm telling you, some people are like that. They got that offense steaming. I remember one day my mom's cooking in that pressure cooker. And we're all in the living room and that thing blew up. Pinto beans all over the ceiling. True story. And you'll blow up too. Because things simmer in our spirits. And that's when you have to say, Lord, increase my faith. Amen. Listen to what Joseph says in Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20. It's at the end of the day. The father has died, and they're standing before Joseph, and they know he's about ready to exact his punishment, his judgment on them, because he's the second in command. And he said, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you intended me harm, but God intended it for good. Aren't you glad you know God? Huh? In order to bring it about unto as it is this day, to save many lives. Glory to God. Why do we need more faith when we're offended? Because faith knows God is in control. I don't know it all. I'm limited at what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds my tomorrow. I can trust him if I have enough faith. Faith knows God is in control. And faith knows that God is working behind the scene. Glory to God. He's working it out for your benefit. Glory to God. Amen. I'm going to tell you a little story, but you can't tell it. So we've been working on the south side, right? Helping homes, painting homes, cleaning up, doing stuff down at Bond Community and all that kind of stuff. And met all the city people down there and code enforcement and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to abbreviate this real short. We go to a meeting a couple of weeks ago. I sent some people up there that were working for our environmental permit that we need for the new property. And sit down at the table, and guess who's there? The guy who knows us from the south side. What was a trouble now became, what can we do for Freedom Church? Now you can sit back and get offended by people telling you no. And in the end, you need to understand. And faith requires to know that God is working out beyond what you could ever imagine or think or ask. Here's the other thing. Faith knows God's love. That he loves me. And the more faith you have, the more love ought to pop out of your talk. You know, that's when we all ought to pray. Lord, increase my faith. And the last thing here is this. Faith knows he is working all things for the good of his people. He's working all things for me, for my good, for my benefit. Amen? Yeah. So faith is expressed in duty. That's what he comes to say. Which of you has a servant? He's going out plowing the field. And when he comes in, you just set him at the table. No, you say, cook the dinner. Why? Because he's a servant. Listen, three questions he asked. Jesus asked in this parable, which of you, having a servant, plowing or herding sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come in and sit down for dinner? The answer to that is no. That's not how you treat servants. The answer to that is no. Okay? The contradiction is sit down and eat. Prepare my dinner. No, it's not going to happen that way. In verse 8, will he not rather say to him, prepare supper and dress yourself and serve me until I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? The answer to that question is yes. That's the way it's going to happen. And then a third question. Does he thank the servant because he did what he commanded? The answer to that question is no. He doesn't thank the servant. Why? He's a servant. And the application in verse 10, listen, so you also, when you have done everything commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. We have just done our duty. We are servants. And it's hard in a world that tells us, you're so special. You're special. You're gifted. You're talented. There's nothing like you. You're amazing. Overflated, inflated egos demand special treatment. Servants just do their duty and are thankful. Sometimes I wonder if we've not adapted the gospel in our super inflated ego world to make us feel so good. Stroke that ego instead of dying to the flesh. Can I tell you, the gospel is about us dying. Dying. In a me-centered world. It's sad. When in relationship to faith, we talk more about our privileges as God's children than servanthood. We talk more about our special individuality, our gifts, our talents, and we forget it's our duty to serve the Lord. Amen. It's our duty to serve the Lord. You know what that means? We need a lot more faith to be servants in an hour that's so ego-driven. Everybody looking for their fame. Why? We need more faith. Because acceptable obedience comes through faith. Acceptable obedience comes through faith. And I don't know about you, but when I was raising my kids, you know, I'd tell them to do something. They said, like clean the table after dinner. Their plate would go up and then they'd go play. No, that's not what I ask you to do. But I took care of mine, Daddy. No. Do the whole thing. Serve your sister. Serve your mama. Serve. Do the whole thing. Sometimes we just want acceptable obedience. We ought to go the extra mile for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We need more obedience. And that means we need more faith. That's why the writer of Hebrews says this: without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Listen, faith unites us with Jesus like never before. There's something that happens when your faith is increased. You know you're not alone. When your faith is increased, you know he's going to be sufficient. When your grace, when his faith is increased, you can slay the giants that are set before you. When faith is rise. Here's the other thing: faith allows you to receive the Spirit's empowerment. I'll take more faith. I'll take more faith. Amen? I want to be in a place of faith where I do my duty before God. That when I stand before him, he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." Amen? Good and faithful servants. Increase our faith, Lord, was the cry of the disciples. Increase our faith to forgive and to act in sacrificial love. Increase our faith. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, when he says, increase our faith, he says to them, the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to that mulberry tree, be cast into the ocean, and it would be done. Now, I don't know about you, but when people offend me, and I'm offended by other people, the roots of that offense rose inside of me. And the more the roots grow, the bigger the tree gets. And now my whole life is entangled by the offense because of a tree root inside of my heart. Maybe that's why Jesus says, if you say to that tree, be thou cast into the ocean, what's leaving? The tree and its roots. No longer controlled by the offense, but set free. Aren't you glad? Faith sets us free. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Stand with me, would you? Hey, would you bow your heads right now? You're in circumstances, you're in a situation right now where you're offended. And you know, and it's the hardest thing in your world to forgive that person right now in your life. You're there. You know what it is. Every time they walk through the door, you feel it. If you're not careful, a rage begins to raise up in you. Can I tell you, there's a mulberry tree in your heart. And you need more faith today. Because right now the offense is controlling you. And God wants you to live in freedom. He wants you to be free. That's why the disciples said, Lord, help us increase our faith. You know why? Because they're dealing with Peter. You know, Peter who can't keep his mouth shut. Peter who's always running his mouth about what he's going to do and what he's... You know, yeah, Jesus, I'll defend. I'm not going to flee. I'm not going to deny you. They had to live with that for 3 years. And then there was Judas who had his hand in the teal They all knew it. They just kept waiting for Jesus to kick him out. They just waited for Jesus to do something. And Jesus kissed him in the Last Supper. They needed faith. Help us. You are honestly saved before the Lord today. Lord, increase my faith to deal with the circumstances in my life right now. Would you just raise your hand? Just hold it up there. Help me, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need your power. I need to know that you're with me. I need to know you're going to work it out for good. I need to know.